This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back Lucy Kaplansky.
Don't mind me, I'm just a bit maniacal about you and derailed when I'm without you. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. If you could love me just a little, it'd be okay. 'Cause I couldn't leave you anyway. Don't mind me.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be welcoming back Lucy Kaplansky. How you doing, Lucy?
Hi, good.
Very nice to talk to you again. I'm speaking to Lucy from, where am I speaking to you?
Oh, where am I? I'm in Massachusetts, yes. Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
In Cape Cod. All right. Very good. But a New York girl. Well, actually, I forgot you were from Chicago originally.
Yeah, although I've been living in New York my whole adult life. So, yes, but I am originally a Chicagoan in my heart.
Well, Lucy's going to be very familiar to our listeners through her career of recording and performing for now over 3 decades, maybe close to 4 at this point. Starting with The Tide in 1996, she's released 9 recordings under her own name, along with several notable collaborations, including Cry, Cry, Cry with Dar Williams and Richard Schindel. Also Red Horse with John Gorka and Eliza Gilkinson, among other collaborations. She's been a guest on the program at least a couple of times as we were talking before we started the interview. And I know I did at least one of the interviews, and you were also on with our former co-host, Brian Copper. Lucy, this is a very interesting time to be doing an interview. You know, I've been saying to folks, as I've been doing strictly phone interviews the last couple months, that certainly, you know, COVID-19, the pandemic, the shutdown is kind of along for the ride in terms of every interview I do. And then recently, in the last few weeks, we also have tremendous news all over the world, protests sparked by the death and murder of George Floyd, and just all kinds of things going on around that. I'm going to want to get a little deeper into that a little further into the interview, and not to mention just life going on for each one of us. Let's maybe start with the COVID reality. And we talked about the fact that you're calling from Cape Cod. Normally, we'd be talking to you from New York. Obviously, Right. That's been, was certainly the hot spot, the epicenter of the COVID pandemic. Talk a little bit about your experience and when it came into your reality and how it has affected what you're doing professionally as well as personally.
Well, we were very, very fortunate to, the timing was really good to have bought a small home in Cape Cod last summer. So things were just starting to heat up in New York with COVID, and all of a sudden it heated up really fast. And I actually was supposed to do 4 gigs with Richard Chindell. This was now March 12th. And
yeah.
we had a heart-to-heart, and we said these were going to be, you know, good-sized crowds indoors, and we both decided we cannot do this. This is too dangerous. We canceled them. And my family left New York on March 13th, never thinking we would be here maybe till fall. But so we were very lucky. We've been here. It's a small town. It's, nothing is safe now, but it's so much safer than where we were living in Manhattan in an elevator building. So we're very grateful that we have not been there, because we would have really kind of been trapped in our apartment. It really was brought home to me in a very real way when someone I know well back in New York, a musician, Larry Campbell,
got
extremely ill with COVID. And that, a lot of us know him and love him. And that scared the hell out of all of us, I think. That's the only person I've known who really got hit badly.
And I should mention, too, that the reason this interview is happening is by kind of a byproduct of the COVID pandemic, in that I was watching Sean Colvin's Instagram concert. I haven't watched a lot of hers, but just happened to pop it on. And while I was watching it, she said, "Now I'm going to have a special guest." And I think there was like a synapse in my brain that fired. And I thought, I wonder if it's going to be Lucy Kaplansky. And then sure enough, there you were, popped up on a split screen with Sean Colvin on her Instagram page online. You know, I think we can make this joke because we're in the same age range. The two of you trying to figure out the technology. Am I on? Can you hear me? You know, can you see me? Like whole thing.
It was
very real.
Yeah.
It was very real. Very, very cool to see, a couple of seasoned pros trying to get used to this new reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about that aspect of things, of taking your music and your art to the internet. I'm not sure if you've been doing a whole lot of that, but I know you've been doing some, obviously, with Sean.
Yeah, I've done a couple of things online. It's a very strange time because it's not the same to watch someone who's singing into a phone in their living room. I mean, I think it's great that people are doing it. And I think people, when I've done it, have really appreciated it, but it's also not like a live concert experience. Mm-hmm. And it's the only thing that's going to be, available for people like me for God knows how long. So it's kind of a new reality.
Oh, as it would rain, wash my face clean. I want to find some dark cloud to hide in here. Oh, love in a memory sparkles like diamonds. When the diamonds fall, they burn like tears. When the diamonds fall, they burn like tears. Once I had a love from the Georgia pine who only cared for me. I want to find that love of 20 to here at 33. I got a heart on my right and one on my left, and neither suits my needs. And the one I love is way out west, and he never will need me. So I wish it would rain, wash my face clean. I want to find some dark cloud to hide in here. Love and a memory sparkles like diamonds. When the diamonds fall, they burn like tears. When the diamonds fall, pack up my two-step shoes and head for the Gulf Coast plain. I want to walk the streets of my own hometown where everybody knows my name. I want to ride the waves down in Galveston where the hurricanes roll in. That Gulf Coast water tastes sweet as wine when your heart's going home in the wind. And I wish it would rain, wash my face clean. I want to find some dark cloud to hide in here. Oh, love and a memory sparkles like diamonds. When the diamonds fall, they burn like tears. When the diamonds fall, they burn like tears. When the diamonds fall, darling, they burn like tears.
Lucy Kaplansky joining us here on Musician's Spotlight. Lucy, and we're talking about your appearance there on Sean Colvin's Instagram concert, and I do remember now that you did kind of debuted. I think that was like the premiere of your most recent song, which was a beautiful
right.
piece.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Yeah, and then also, of course, one of the songs that you did on that with Sean, I believe chipping in some, with some vocals, was one that you recorded on your most recent album, Everyday Street, called Old oh. Friends. And I confess, when I first saw that as a title on your album, with your proclivity for covers, I thought, oh, well, they've obviously redone, you know, the Simon and Garfunkel tune. But no,
oh,
it's
I
a
forgot,
brand new song.
I forgot there's a song
oh,
called
really?
Old Friends. Whoops. Okay, go on.
No, I think that'd be great. Maybe you could segue, you know, do a medley or something. But no, it's a beautiful tune. Can you talk a little bit about that? And we'll kind of use that as a kind of a jumping off point to talking about that album.
So I've known Sean since 1980 when we heard each other sing at an open mic night at Folk City, which was this sort of iconic folk club in New York. I was working as a bartender that night, but I also sang there a lot. And she showed up in town, and the first night she was in town, she went and sang at open mic. And we've been friends ever since. And it was a way to tell our story. Part of the story is that we kind of parted ways for a few years, long story I won't get into, and then we came back together. I wanted to write about that. I had just finished it and really finished it. And Sean was visiting New York and I got up my nerve and played it for her. And I really, because I know she is a very astute judge of songs. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do if she doesn't like it? She's going to have to lie, whatever. So she starts crying halfway through the song. And then she said it was the nicest gift anyone had ever given her. And then she was telling me how good it was. And I said, oh, but Sean, you know, what are you going to say to me? She said, no, Lucy, I know a good song when I hear one. And I thought, you know, she does know a good song when she hears one. She has impeccable taste in songs. So that's kind of how the song got written. And then she wanted to sing the harmony on the album. We've sung it a couple of times, maybe three or four times live. you know, she really feels she likes the song a lot, and I'm proud of it. And it's a nice tribute to our friendship and to old friends in general. I got a picture of you and me from maybe 1982. You were 27, I was almost 22. We're singing with somebody who isn't in the frame, smiling at each other, matching every phrase, suspending notes that don't belong, seconds and sixths, whatever we want. And it feels like flying, always landing somewhere new, weaving the shared tapestry, that's what you and I do. I was working the bar at open mic the night you came to town. I'd heard about a girl better than anyone. I got up and sang a tune while Robbie watched the bar. Then the whole place got quiet for your voice and your guitar. I remember us sitting on the floor singing every song we knew. Richard and Linda Thompson, Graham and Emmy Lou. We could tell each other anything, and we still do. Our shared secrets, that's what good friends do. If I had never met you so much, I never would have done all those gigs you got me on, those great country songs. The record we showed all the guys a girl could sing and write a song. And as it sometimes goes, we went separate ways. Who was right and who was wrong, neither one of us can say. And it doesn't matter now, it was so long ago. Like water under the bridge, life flows or it must go. So here we are in your hotel room, singing Graham and Emmy Lou. 20 years, 20,000 roads have brought me back to you. Older, a little wiser than back in 1982. Sharing a history, that's what old friends do. Sharing a history, that's what old friends do.
And when you guys were playing together as a duo, was this the Bottom Line? Was that the name of the club that you guys used to play at?
We were part of Fast Folk shows together at the Bottom Line. We did a few duo gigs. This is now like 1984, mostly at Folk City. And we played at a few private parties. We ended up not getting that far with it because one night we were playing at Folk City and I remember well, I mean, I think it was there that night that a guy from Rounder Records came up to us and said, we really want to make an album with you guys. And long story short, I had decided I wasn't going to be a singer and I was going to become a psychologist. And I said, well, no, I don't want to be a singer. I'm going to school. And I remember Sean said to me nicely, but she said, Lucy, then I'm going to have to pursue this. Ends up, she got signed by Columbia Records, but that was the end of the duo, basically. You know, she had thought that I was serious. And she would have been right to think that, except that I was so conflicted about the whole thing, I couldn't let myself have it. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think it's a fascinating, it's an incredible moment in both of your lives. And yeah, I should say, you know, you not only pursued a degree, you got a PhD in psychology and practiced for a number of years, if I'm not mistaken, before you got back into songwriting and performing. And I think, I'm thinking maybe mid-90s or so, early 90s?
Yeah, so 94 is when, so she produced, while I was in grad school, you know, we stayed friends. She wanted to produce an album, so we got some money and we made an album for me. She produced it. And when I finally figured out that I actually really wanted to be a singer, not a psychologist, I had an album that was produced by Sean Colvin sitting in the can, and she was just starting to get famous, and that really helped. So that came out in 94. That's called The Tide.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today by phone with Lucy Kaplansky. Lucy, you mentioned your premiere album, The Tide, and I was preparing for this interview and looking through my own CDs and going on iTunes and so forth and trying to kind of get reacquainted with everything that you've done. And it occurred to me that Everyday Street, your most recent recording, begins with a reworking of The Tide, the first, you know, the title song from that first album. Talk a little bit about making that decision to start this latest project with kind of a revisiting of one of your own songs, and then how that evolved a little bit more with the album itself.
Right. So this album, I funded it myself. I am the record label. I decided to do everything on my own this time. So I had complete control over every decision, which was really nice. But the, you know, times in the music business really have changed, and I needed to branch out on my own. So I decided to think outside the box. You know, why should I only record songs I've never recorded? And I thought through, like, well, what are some of the songs, what are some old songs that I do very differently now than when I originally recorded them? And that was one of them. And I just thought, well, I'll try it. And then I really liked the way it came out. And I thought, you know, no record label's going to tell me I can't put The Tide on this album. Why not? So I did.
There are demons in the water. There are devils in the sea. There are dangers in the current when the tide goes out of me. I could drink you under the table. I could drink you out of town. I could drink you off the planet. Drink myself into the ground. I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing. Made to be a good girl, carried buckets made of stone, full of envy, full of sorrow, on a tightrope all alone. And all the time I was on fire, I burned with every stride, and now I see this anger is the horse I choose to ride. And now you say you want something nice from me. If you find it, take it, it's on me. In the meantime, don't bother me. The tide has washed the nice from me. And I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing. voices and the pictures of my life in the nothing of the sky is an ocean made of light. In the nothing of my silence, the sad-eyed little girl on the tightrope she is singing as she passes through this world. I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing for you tonight. I have nothing.
I had an epiphany, I guess 2 years ago in the spring. I was walking my dog and I thought, because I'd been agonizing, how am I ever going to make another album? People aren't buying them anymore because of Spotify. And I had done a Kickstarter with Richard Schindel. And I mean, it's great, except that it's so much work. And I just thought, what if I just make a simpler album and just sell it myself and not have it streaming anywhere. So people, you know, kind of old school, like people, if they want to have it and listen to it, they have to actually pay for it. Mm-hmm. And I called my husband and I thought, I'll just do it, you know, me and Duke in a studio and kind of try to capture what a live show with Lucy and Duke is like. I called my husband and he said, great. Do it and don't overthink it. And that was really helpful. Like, okay, this is a good idea. I can do this. And I did. And 3 months later, I had a finished album and started selling it myself. I sell it only on my website and at my shows. You can get a digital copy. You can get an actual CD. I mail them myself. But that's the only way to get them because I don't know when I'll be doing shows again. I didn't know, and I don't know anybody else who's doing it this way. I think I'll probably, you know, whenever I make another album, I'll do the same thing.
We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight and our visit with Lucy Kaplansky. Night. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and our visit with Lucy Kaplansky.
In night, inside, at night. No whispers, no worries, no words. Just light fills the corner of your eye. Take me in, take me in. Cold sky, dark Montana, long road. Running fence, radio, trucks blow by. Up high, no air, big dreams. Take me back, take me back. I wanna show you everything, everything. Everything. There's a chance now and then, now and then. No more cut and run. No more cut and run.
Lucy Kaplansky joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. She is calling us from Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Lucy, I'm sure I probably have asked you this before in our previous interviews, but I never tire of looking back and listening to your choice of cover tunes. I love this about your approach to it. I mean, nothing's off limits for you. I was looking back through, I'm seeing versions of tunes by Roxy Music, Richard Thompson, Johnny Cash, Elvis Costello, Julian Buddy Miller, Leonard Cohen. I'm sure I'm forgetting all kinds of folks. But so the question then is, what brings you, a tremendous songwriter in your own right, to someone else's song?
Well, I don't quite believe that myself, but I'm trying to, that I'm a good songwriter, because I still, I've always thought of myself more as a singer, and I've always loved singing a great song. From the time I was, 11, I would sit at the piano. There was a book called Great Songs of the 60s, and I would just play the chords that were written out and sing the songs. And I've always loved singing great songs. And they've tended to be, I guess, written by men. Because my feeling is, if I'm not going to do something different with the song than the original, I'm not really sure what the point is. So I always try to get myself inside a song in a new way. So one night I had just seen Bruce Springsteen play for the first time, and I was in New Jersey at a gig, and I mentioned that, and somebody yelled out, "Do a Springsteen song." And I had never sung a Springsteen song, and I had never ever sung Thunder Road. And I just kind of thought of that, and I went through the song. I didn't know all the words, but there were enough people in the audience, because it was New Jersey, who knew the words. And I got through the whole song, and it just stuck. It has to work for my voice. I have to love the song, and it has to fit whatever album I'm putting together. And if all those criteria are met, then it just ends up on the album.
Screen door slams, Mary's dress sways. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't turn me home again. Just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling. You know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. hours and study your pain. Make crosses from your lovers, throw roses in the rain. Waste your summers praying in vain for a savior to rise from these streets. Well, I ain't no hero, that's understood. All the redemption I can offer, girl, is beneath this dirty hood. With a chance to make it good somehow, hey, what else can we do now? Except roll down the window and let the wind blow back your hair. Well, the night's busted open, these two lanes will take us anywhere. We've got one last chance. Waiting down the track. Whoa, come take my hand. We're riding out tonight to case the promised land. Oh, oh, Thunder Road. Oh, Thunder Road. Lying out there like a killer in the sun. I know it's late, but we can make it if we run. Night will be free, all the promises will be broken, and the ghosts in the eyes of all the boys you sent away. They haunt this dusty beach road in the skeleton frames of burned out Chevrolets. They scream your name at night in the street, your graduation gown in rags at their feet. And in the lonely cool before dawn, you hear their engines roaring on. And when you get to the porch, they're gone on the wind. Merry climbing. It's a town full of losers pulling.
Lucy Kaplansky joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. Lucy, I opened up the Facebook page for ideas for questions from folks who follow the program to to chip in. And Andre from Missoula, who's a fellow songwriter and lives here in Missoula. I'm just going to quote him. How come she's so damn good with words? And her one performance I saw through the Folklore Society years ago stays with me and teaches me to this day.
Oh, my God. That is so, so, so nice. Thank you, Andre.
Yeah, wow. From a fellow songwriter, too. Beyond, you know, passing on that compliment, I guess my question from that is, are there songs or performances that have done that for you? In other words, they stick with you and you could, you know, say something like that. This teaches me to this day.
Yes. Okay, I can give you, there's one that immediately stands out that when I was a waitress and a bartender at Folk City, everybody in the sort of singer, songwriter, folk music scene nationally would play there. And one night, Townes Van Zandt played there. And I wasn't really familiar with him at all. I was literally waitressing that night. And well, first of all, you know, one of the great songwriters ever. Yeah. And I'm quite sure that I was blown away about the actual songs. But I remember his stage thing was so relaxed and so real. It wasn't shticky. It was just him sitting up there chatting, welcoming us into his world. And I never forgot that. And, you know, people have all kinds of styles for performing. But I think that is what I have always aspired to, is just being myself, being real, trying to bring people into my world a little bit. And so that's a good example. That I've never forgotten that.
Lucy, also another question from the Facebook page. William asks how the 10-year night has continued up till now. Clearly, her songs are very personal and talk about relationships and how they support and sustain. You're very open about singing about these kinds of things. I know you've also, you know, spoken in music about your daughter as well. And maybe touch on that a little bit, how you go about doing that and doing it maybe in such a way that you feel safe in doing it.
Well, first of all, I don't know how to write about something that I don't know something about. So, I mean, the write what you know, yeah. I really take that very seriously. And, well, what do I know the best is my relationships with people in my life. I feel they're definitely, it is weird to write personal songs, and I have absolutely censored quite a few of them and changed identifying details and facts, or changed ideas to make them more poetically feasible. You know, I think it just depends on who you are. I've always felt comfortable sharing personal stuff. It's funny, even though a song is personal, with very personal details, like a song about my grandmother in a nursing home called Song for Molly, I guess my feeling, people, I cannot tell you how many times people have come up to me and said how that song helped them, and you know, they had a parent or a grandparent who had dementia or whatever. And it occurred to me that if there's some kind of universal emotional truth, if there's some kind of emotional truth in the song, the specific details aren't what's really super important. People can respond to the emotional truth, and that kind of makes it this universal thing. I mean, you know, Joni Mitchell and Little Green, it's about loss and it's about regret. It doesn't matter if you've ever given up a child for adoption, because you can still relate to the emotional truth of it.
Molly's sitting on her bed. It's Sunday afternoon. Radio's playing outside. TV bleeds from the next room. Antiseptic in the air, nurses laughing down the hall, cricket feet and cricket shoes, her wooden cane against the wall. It's Sunday, but her Sunday clothes are packed away somewhere. She doesn't need them anymore, nothing will look her best for. I'm with my mother. She doesn't know my name. I remind her I'm Lucy, but she looks at me the same, like I'm a stranger she should remember from a place she can't return. We've only just walked in. She says we've stayed too long, too proud to be remembered as a mother without a home. Time to go. is growing old. We walk the halls anyway. My mother holds her arm. She's pleading with us to leave, so we walk her to a room. And we drive through the old neighborhood, the grand homes of the south side. So many are abandoned now, so many lifetimes locked inside. And at the dinner table, it's my parents and me. A snake looks at the two of them to see what they need from me. And later she calls me over, she sits alone. She's polishing the silver ring I've never seen before. She says this was Molly's, it was her mother's ring. I'm keeping it for you, but she kept it from me.
Lucy, as I was going back through my CDs and doing the research on your recordings, I couldn't help remembering that Every Single Day, and the title track of that is one of my favorite songs of yours, that recording was officially released on September 11th, 2001.
Right.
And as I mentioned, when the last time we did an interview, it was that whole experience was still very fresh for you being a New Yorker. You know, you touched on that then in your next recording, The Red Thread, right, with The Land of the Living. And so many things that were going on for you at that moment in time, personally and on a global level. And now here we are doing this interview in early June of 2020. And I feel like we'd be remiss in not somehow opening up this conversation to what's going on all over the world now.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, I don't want to even just say the protest, because it's so much more that's going on. But
yes,
all of this sparked by the murder of George Floyd, the capturing of that on video and shining a light on things that we know have always been there, but the light is shining on it now at a time in a way that I've never seen before.
Yeah, no.
So I'm not sure how exactly to bring that up, except just to bring it up and just to talk about it and put it out there for folks. And maybe, you know, what the role of art is going to be around these issues.
Well, I mean, it's an absolutely extraordinary time. Nothing like anyone, I think, alive now probably has experienced before. You know, the Russian Revolution comes to mind, and nobody alive now was part of the Russian Revolution. It feels like a genuine turning point in our society, and that is making me feel very hopeful. I mean, I don't want to get into politics particularly because I get myself mm-hmm. into trouble. But I've been very, 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 shall we say, disheartened by what's been going on in our country the last 3.5 years. And this is making me optimistic that the pendulum is going to swing the other way, the way of justice and goodness and morality and kindness and compassion. The world seems just poised to take it on right now. I think it's a combination probably of all kinds of things, probably very complicated why it's happening now, but it is just this exploding movement. I said to somebody this morning, it's like a peaceful revolution. Mm. And revolutions don't happen very often. This is bigger, like you said, it's not protests. It's way beyond that. I wish I were in New York in some ways part of these protests, because in another time I would be. I mean, some of them are around the corner from me. Washington Square Park and Union Square are 3-4 blocks from my house. But the way things have worked out, I'm not there. I can't be there. But I'm so proud of the people who are walking the streets so peacefully. And I'm so proud that these people are standing up for what's right. How is art going to, I have no idea what art's role is going to be. And I can tell you that the song that Rick and I wrote, Land of the Living, which was kind of, for lack of a better way to put it, the account of a witness, because we were in Manhattan on September 11th in the aftermath, that was completely unplanned. I mean, neither of us ever thought, oh, we're going to write a song about this. In fact, I remember thinking, how am I ever going to write a song again? And then it happened. It just sort of happened. And I think probably for a lot of artists in all kinds of fields, it'll just come out. It'll just pour out of them. I don't know in what way it'll pour out for me, but I imagine it will somehow. And that'll be a beautiful thing in general for artists to share in the revolution in their own way.
Late afternoon back in New York town, waking up as the wheels touch down, pick up my guitar and walk away. Wish I was going home to stay. Line of taxis, I wait my turn. Tire and asphalt, exhaust and fumes. Beside the road on a patch of ground, taxi drivers are kneeling down. Neath the concrete sky, I watch them pray, while the people of the world hurry on their way. I think they're praying for us all today, the stories that fell from the sky that day. This is the land of the living. This is the land that's mine. She still watches over Manhattan. She's still holding on to that torch for life. Fire still burning, I can see it in the air. Pictures of faces posted everywhere. They say hazel eyes, chestnut hair, mother of two, missing down there. I pass the firemen on duty tonight. Carpets of flowers and candlelight. And thank you in a child's scrawl, taped to the Third Street firehouse wall. The shadows of the lost on the faces I see. Brothers and strangers on this island of grief. There's death in the air, but there's life on this street. There's life on this street. This is the land of the living. This is the land that's mine. She still watches over Manhattan. She's still holding on to that torch for life. Then I got in the taxi, said Hudson Street, please. He started the meter and he looked at me. I glanced at his name on the back of his seat, and I looked out the window at the ghost-filled streets. I noticed cuts on his hand and his face, and I said, you're bleeding, are you okay? Said, I'm not so good, got beat up today, and I'm not one of them no matter what they say. I'm just worried about my family, my wife. wife's in the house and she's scared to leave. I didn't know what to say, didn't know what to say. I said a prayer for him anyway. This is the land of the living. This is the land that's mine. She still watches over Manhattan. She's still holding under that torch for life. Holding on for life.
LucyKaplansky.com is the name of Lucy's website, and Everyday Street is her most recent album. And as you've heard in this interview, if you would like to get that album, either in hard copy CD form or as a digital download, you need to go to that website, LucyKaplansky.com, because you're not going to find it anywhere else, except hopefully at some point in the not too distant future, we'll be able to see you live and in concert, and I'm sure you'll have those there. But for the time being, right. LucyKaplansky.com is where you'd find Everyday Street. Lucy, thanks so much for taking the time to call us from Cape Cod today and check in with us here at Musician Spotlight. And we really hope that you get back to Montana sometime in the not too distant future and we can visit again face to face.
Thank you, John. This was such a pleasure. And me too. I miss coming to Montana.
It was 10 years ago, you were up all night, I was begging you to sleep. Sitting up in bed, wouldn't shut your eyes, and you still got that over me. Your first birthday, just your dad and me, little face covered in ice cream. You made a wish for you, blew your candle out.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Lucy Kaplansky. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes and Spotify. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.